All right, real quick, people, before we get into today's show, we've just released a new course, Periodization for Periods, all around how to train women around their monthly cycle, and we've got it on special. If you're interested, click the link in the show notes.
You are now listening to the Fitness Education Online Podcast, the podcast where fitness professionals go to grow their fitness business. If you're in the fitness industry, you'll find tips and strategies from proven business experts. Now, let's start the show.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Fitness Education Online Podcast. I'm your host, Jono, and I am super excited because we have an absolute rock star on the line this week. Now, I know I say that every week about every person, but this person is actually a rock star. The reason I know is because he has a Wikipedia profile. If you have a Wikipedia profile, you are a somebody. A little bit about this person. He's a 4-times Paralympic athlete. He's a 2-times medalist in the sport of goalball. He's also a certified personal trainer. He's done all of that or most of that while he's been blind. And he's also got an app that he's recently developed that we'll get into that later, but essentially helps people who are blind or visually impaired and just people in general as well exercise better. So without further ado, let me introduce the one and only Mr. Tyler Merrin. Tyler, how are you?
I am fantastic, Jonah. Thanks so much for having me on the show, man.
No, thanks for coming on. And just for the listeners as well, both me and Tyler currently have COVID. We're socially distanced. I don't think we can get further apart.
Very socially distant. Yeah.
Whereabouts are you based, Tyler?
I'm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, so we are a few miles away from each other.
I don't think we can get any further apart. It's 9 a.m. Tuesday over here in Australia. What's the time over there in Indiana?
We're at 7 p.m. Monday night, so you're on the next day for me.
I'm in the future, right? Do you want me to let you
know
who won Monday Night Football? Would that be handy or?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If you got any intel for me, what's the future like over there?
Yeah, well, I could tell you who won the Monday Night Football in Australia, but I don't think that'd help you.
We'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Exactly. Tyler, I'm going to hand it over to you from here. You've obviously got quite an interesting story. There's so many different facets from it, from when you kind of lost your eyesight, from being a Paralympic athlete, I believe you still are, to being a certified personal trainer, to the app you've now launched. So I'm going to hand it over to you. And where's the best place to start with your story?
Well, I think that it's fun to rewind the tapes all the way back to the beginning. And, I was born on in a small rural town in Southwest Michigan. I grew up in Michigan in the U.S. and grew up on a farm and just was always super active as a kid and just very, very busy, right? Always outside climbing trees and, riding bikes and digging holes and all the things that kids do. And there was something a little bit different with me growing up that my parents noticed that was different from my siblings, right? So I'm 4 years old or so, 4 or 5 years old. And my parents started to notice that, when I would talk with somebody, when I'm looking at them, my eyes would kind of shift to the side a little bit. And, we would go out at night and play ball out in the driveway or whatever. And as soon as it started to get a little bit dim, my vision would go very, very quickly. So the eye condition that I have comes with a side effect called night blindness, where as soon as the light starts to dim, it's super hard for me to make out any details. I would bump into things a lot. I'd have a hard time catching a ball. And my parents are like, well, this is really strange. Like, this isn't like the other kids. So they took me to a specialist, and the specialist had kind of a dire diagnosis for them. They said, the specialist told my parents, like, look, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but your son has an eye condition that is eventually going to render him completely blind. And he's going to need special care for the rest of his life. He's going to need to go to a special school. He's going to have to live in a special home. He's going to have somebody take care of him for the rest of his life. And, my parents, again, just kind of hardworking, average country folk, they they didn't know what to do with this. This was like big bombshell kind of news for them, right? Like, my dad tells me this story. Like, you know, I was just a kid. I don't really remember this, but my dad tells me that they're driving home from this doctor's appointment. He actually just literally had to pull off to the side of the road and just sit and just breathe for a minute.
Yeah.
Right. Because he's got these pictures in his head of his firstborn son and, you know, star quarterback and starting pitcher. And now this doctor's telling him that his kid's essentially going to be an invalid. Right. I mean, what do you do with that? You know? Yeah, yeah. And, so it was a pretty wild ride for my parents. And one of the things that I really appreciate about them, you know, is that they didn't let the fear of that situation, kind of that unknown, put me in a bubble, right? They didn't, we got back and they said, you know what? He has some of these struggles. We can see that his vision's going to get worse, but for now he's okay. Mm. And we have a lot of chores to do on the farm. There's nothing wrong with his back. we can get him to do some chores and we just kind of figured it out. So it started this journey in my life of like, okay, yeah, this is hard for me because of my vision. However, there's a way we can figure this out. You know, so when we would go out and play baseball, you know, I would get the big Nerf bat and the beach ball instead of the regular baseball and bat, you know, and yeah, exactly. We just started figuring things out. We started, you know, you started asking the question. You don't ask the question, can you? You ask the question, how can you? Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we started sorting through. So, you know, you go forward a few years in my life and I'm in my early teenage years. And again, just always loved being active, handling a ball, playing basketball was one of my favorites because the basketball was pretty big. So mm-hmm. I had an easier time seeing it, but I'm in my mid-teen years and my vision's getting worse and worse. You know, I'm starting to get services now for people who are blind. I'm learning how to use a cane and read Braille and things like that.
Gotcha.
And I'm starting to go through this this kind of period of like, man, I'm losing these sports, right? I'm losing my contact with all the things that I love to do because I can't see the basketball anymore. Yeah. I was at a basketball practice once. I actually made my school basketball team. And there was one particular practice where...
When you were, you'd lost most of your vision?
Yeah. It's weird, right? So let me clarify this. So like the vision that I had, my eye condition, which is called retinitis pigmentosa, it renders my vision to be a tunnel. So it's called tunnel vision. So Gotcha. Within, imagine like looking at life through a straw. Okay. Yeah. So like what you can see in that little straw, you know, I could see pretty clearly for the most part.
Gotcha.
But now imagine trying to play a game of basketball, looking at life through that straw, right? Like very, very tricky. A lot of things just kind of flashing across that little spot of vision. So I adapted so well to it and kind of made up for the difference with my athleticism. But I just reached a point where it just got too difficult. There was one practice where somebody went to pass me a ball multiple times and I didn't see it coming and it hit me in the face a few times. And, you know, I went to try to make a shot and couldn't see the basketball hoop. I'm looking around for it and I'm like, oh man, this is a problem, you know? And, so I reached this point in my life where I'm like, man, I just, you know, I can't do these things anymore. Well, that's when I got introduced to adaptive sports. There was a sports education camp at Western Michigan University, and it was put on by the blind rehab development program at the university. And so essentially what they did is every year they brought in, you know, 40, 50 kids who were visually impaired from across the state, across several states, and taught them how to adapt these sports. Right. So if you're blind and you want to be a wrestler, here's how you can adapt that. If you're blind and you want to do swimming, if you want to do track and field, judo, tandem cycling, wall climbing, whatever it is. Here's how you adapt it.
That's sick.
Well, one of the, sorry, what's that?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh yeah. It's yes. So one of the sports that they did, was goalball. And yes. So as a athlete who loved playing a ball sport, goalball was something that I took to very quickly. And just, you know, for the sake of knowledge, goalball is such a unique sport. Definitely something that you should look up when you get an opportunity, because I'll explain it, but it's kind of hard to follow if you don't see a video of it. Goalball is a sport that was invented actually over 75 years ago. It was invented in Germany after World War II to give blinded war veterans a form of recreation, right? So they kind of grew and developed this sport into a big international competition. And it's played 3-on-3, three athletes on each side of a volleyball size court, and you're all blindfolded, right? So there's no vision used. And the ball, which is, it's about the size of a basketball, but it's heavier, weighs about 3 pounds, and it has bells inside. Ooh. So as you throw it back and forth and try to get it past the other players into their net, they use the sound of the bells to, like a soccer goalie, put themselves in front of it and block the ball from going into their net. And so I started playing this game when I was about 15 years old, thinking like, oh man, how am I going to play sports when I'm blind? I'm introduced to this camp and it's like, yeah, you can do all these sports, including this one that's made just for you. And I was like, wow, this is great. And
yeah,
a short 2 years later, I'm competing for the USA goalball team and traveling all over the world, competing in this sport at the age of 17, just turning 18 years old. So it was a pretty wild ride from start to finish, from start to that point.
That's crazy. Hey, I want to go deeper into that, Tyler, and hear the next part of the story, because I believe you've made the Olympics, which is amazing, multiple times. Just before we jump into that, though, I do have a question. Don't know if you can answer this. Like, I feel throughout that whole story, it sounds so positive. You're like, great. It was never, can I do it? It's, you know, it's how can I do it? And we always figured a way. Is that what you're like looking back now? Or was it hard at the time? Or have you always had that positive attitude? What can you kind of tell us there?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? So I think I could look back at the story and highlight the positive things, but it wasn't always easy. It rarely is, right? Yeah. So when you talk about personal training, right, when you talk about fitness, rarely is it easy,
yeah,
right? Making the decision to do the work, to do what needs to be done to get the outcome that you're looking for, it's never an easy process. It's not always complicated. It can be simple, but rarely is it easy. And I think there were times when I did get really frustrated. Yeah. And I still do.
Yep.
As successful as I am, it's a normal part of the human condition to sit back and say, man, this sucks. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But what I tell people, you know, when I do, motivational speaking, when I do presentations, I tell them like, that's okay to feel that, but you can't stay there.
Yeah.
You can't let that make the decision for you. You know, you take those weights that you have, and everybody has them. Everybody has some challenges. Everybody has something. You wear that around your neck and it drags you down. You decide to take it off and drop it every once in a while. You can use that as a stepping stone up to the next big thing in your life. You know, so it does come down to a decision, not an easy one, but yeah, man, there were times. Definitely don't let me paint the wrong picture for you. There were times.
Yes. No.
But generally, yeah, it was pretty positive.
Well, I think it's a good way to look at it. It's kind of like, man, it would be weird, like, for anyone, whether you've got your vision, you're blind, whatever the condition is, like, man, everyone has hard times. Like, it's almost weird if you don't, you know, something's almost wrong if you don't have that, right? But
yeah,
as you hit it
absolutely
on the head, nothing wrong with feeling like that. The problem is if you stay there. It's like, right, I'm feeling down. Yep. Let me acknowledge it. This is totally normal. Great. You know, what can I do to get over that? Not, I actually heard someone speaking a little bit about it the other day. Do you know who, I think his name is Pete Davidson, the comedian, and he dates like Kim Kardashian.
It sounds familiar. Yeah.
he was on Saturday Night Live, and I think he's a comedian. He's dated all these really attractive women. I think Kim Kardashian and Ariana Grande and all these celebrities. And he's got depression. And he was kind of like, hey, I know I got it, you know? He's like, I wake up every morning. I know that I'm going to be depressed, but I also know what to do to get me out of that. So it's just like a system. Mm-hmm. You know, I wake up and I go for a walk, I exercise, I, you know, have my coffee. And I know as long as I do these things, great, I'm in a better position. So I love that. But I want to move on, Tyler, to your experiences as an Olympic athlete. So how did that kind of happen? You started playing goalball, you made it to the US team, and then how did it kind of work from there?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or go search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, I would love to say that, like, you know, I got into this sport and I had this big grand vision and I set this big goal and I just charged towards the finish line and you know, busted through it. But really, it's kind of a funny, like, serendipitous story in a sense. Like, you know, I'm growing up in this kind of, you know, rural farm area, this visually impaired kid, loved to be active. And I'm introduced to sports, and I'm introduced to this sport, goalball in particular, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. And, you know, I played my very first game. They're like, here's what you do, here's some pads here, you know, throw the ball to that end and you try to block it from going in this end. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And I got done with my first game, and actually one of the guys that I still play ball with, he played with me in my very first game. He had been playing for a little bit before me, but he came over to me and said, is this the first time you've ever played? I was like, yeah, they just showed me how to do it, and it's a lot of fun, I like it. And he said, well, you're really good at it, and I think they're going to want you to play on our youth team, and we're going to go to junior nationals and compete all the way in Florida. And I was like, oh, you guys go all the way to Florida to play this game? That's crazy.
You know? Have you traveled much before that?
I really hadn't, you know, up to this point, I had not. So I'm, you know, again, 15 years old ish, 14, 15 years old, really hadn't left Southwest Michigan. I mean, my family had taken a trip or two here or there, but traveling wasn't our thing. Yeah. And so that started it. And so I joined that team. I went to Florida and competed there. And then I had a couple of adult players who, you know, were watching the tournaments, and they said, hey, you're pretty good at this. You want to come play on our club team? I was like, that's cool. What did we do there? And like, well, we go to all kinds of different states and compete. We go to Colorado and New Jersey and all these places. We go up into Canada and we compete there. And I was like, wow, you guys do all that? That's crazy. So, you know, I joined that team and I started training and competing with them, and they were good. They were, again, fortunate, serendipitous a little bit that I had a couple of Paralympic athletes right there in that area with me in Michigan. And so I start training and competing with them. And then I, you know, I'm getting approached by the coaches from the USA team, and they're like, hey, you're pretty good at this. You want to come and try out for the USA team? And I was like, you guys have a USA team for this thing? You know, like, it sounds so silly, right? Like, I was so ignorant of it. I was just like, man, I'm just so glad I have a sport to play. This is so cool. And, you know, so again, it was just a short 2 years later that I'm flying out to the Colorado Springs to the Olympic Training Center with my dad and trying out for the USA team there. And I make that team. And 2004. So let's see, I started, my very first game was in May of 1999. May of 2001, I went to my first international tournament with the USA team. It was the Pan American Games, and hit several international tournaments following that. And then 2004, Athens, Greece was my first Paralympics. Wow. And so 5 years after starting playing goalball, I got to go to the Paralympics in Athens, Greece, my very first one.
And you've done it four, do I read right, four Paralympics you've been to?
Four Paralympic Games, yeah. So Athens was my very first one. I was 20 years old, and then went to Beijing in 2008. Rio in 2016, and then actually just did Tokyo last year. So that was my fourth games, was the Tokyo 2020 games.
Yeah, you're going to do a fifth?
Isn't that the question? I would love to. Right now, I am on the team. I'm committed to, we have our world championships this fall in Portugal. I'm committed up through that point. It's just, we'll have to see. It takes a toll on the body. As any elite athlete listening to this knows, any elite trainer, like athletics, sports, fitness, it's great for your body until you get to the elite levels. The elite of almost anything is not good for you. So we'll have to see.
Well, Tyler, I want to move on to your experience as a personal trainer. Just before we do, one question. I read in your bio, I don't think you've won a gold. Who wins it? Because over here in Australia, I feel America wins all the sports, you know? Who's winning it all these times if it's not America?
Oh, man. Goal ball is, in our sport on the men's side, there are several very, very good teams. 2020 was Brazil. 2016 was Lithuania. 2012 was Finland. 2008 was China. There are several good teams. That are out there and competitive. So lots of countries that compete in our sport, but we're definitely up there. I've got a bronze and a silver. I've got one more to try to collect. So kind of hint at your earlier question, there may be a fifth one in my, future.
I was going to say in like basketball, it's like if America don't win the gold, something's wrong. You know, some player stuff.
It's weird. Yeah. So I very proud to represent some of those other amazing athletes and kind of be equated with them. But yeah, it's just an honor to be able to do something like that, whatever country you're competing for. You know, obviously I'm proud to be an American and love competing for them.
Awesome. All right. Let's move on to your role as a personal trainer, Tyler. Let us know, I guess, when did that start? What was it like getting into it? What's it like being a blind personal trainer, I guess?
Yeah, so really, as most of those listening to this might be able to attest to, deciding to become a personal trainer really spun out of my love for fitness, right? So here I am, again, doing all of this fun travel competition, being an athlete. And I started to think, man, this is really fun. I wonder what I need to do to be the best athlete I can be, right? How do I become bigger, stronger, faster? What do I do for that? And so I started researching that and talking with people and talking with coaches and I started getting much, much better at being an athlete. And then I had other athletes come to me and saying, hey, you're doing really well. How do I get to be that good? And so I would start to teach them and the things that I've learned. And I realized, like, you know what? I really like this. I really like teaching people, especially fitness. I've kind of got the heart of a teacher. And, all your trainers out there will be able to attest to this too. Like, you know, to lift weights and to get big and strong does not make you a trainer, right? Like you have to know what you're doing, but you have to be able to teach what you're doing too. Yeah. And so I found that, like, hey, I enjoy this. I'm pretty knowledgeable. I'm good at teaching people. So I decided to go make a career out of it. I went to Western Michigan University. I got my bachelor's degree in exercise science, got nationally certified in strength and conditioning, became a personal trainer at a kind of a box gym setup. So I was a master personal trainer for 24-hour fitness for about 6 years. Worked as a trainer prior to that, a couple internships and things like that while I was working on my degree. And just again found that I really, really enjoyed it. Now the process of getting there was a little wild for me because again, you think about like learning anatomy and physiology. Learning biomechanics and charts and things like that. When you can't see those pictures, I spent a lot of time in professors' office hours, asking questions, and checking out like models of skeletons and muscles and attachments, origins, insertions, and things like that. And so it was an uphill battle, pretty much the whole time.
Yeah.
and worth every minute of it. It was so much fun. I enjoyed it so thoroughly, learning how my own body worked and how to make it better, and then teaching others how to do the same was just so, so fascinating to me. And then getting into the actual field itself, you know, there was a lot of questions, a lot of people who were like, are you going to be able to do this? Is this going to be a, you know, are people going to want to train with you as a blind trainer, right? Like, how many people you think would have a little bit of trepidation about that? And it was the same approach that I've always taken. It was that same approach of like, I'm not going to ask, can I, I'm going to ask, how can
I? Yeah.
You know, and my, my knowledge, my presence, a few things that I would do to kind of tweak the way somebody would normally train, right? So a little bit more physical contact. So if I'm teaching somebody how to do a proper squat, right? So one hand on their lower back and one hand on the outer side of one knee is going to tell me a lot about how their body is moving, right? How their hips are moving, how their knees are lined up, talking them through each step of it, you know, retracting your shoulder blades back, and then you touch your fingers to the spot between their shoulder blades and they automatically react. And that's a pull the shoulders back there. Right. And, you know, and just being professional about it. And, you know, I would always ask permission. I'd meet a client for the first time and say, hey, you know what, do I have permission to, you know, to touch you on, you know, your shoulder, your leg or whatever, so that I can adjust your position. The 10 years that I've been a trainer, never had an issue with it. Not a single issue. It's been it's such a fantastic experience. So much fun for me.
Well, I'll tell you a couple things, right? I would love to, I mean, I don't, I now am more on the education side of things, so I don't train people anymore. But there's a couple things like here and that, I'm like, man, I feel like there's almost some, I mean, I don't want to use the word advantage, but I feel you've got some kind of learning systems now that people that have their vision could benefit from. Because it's kind of like to learn, like you said, anatomy, and I'm thinking anatomy specifically. I'm like, man, to learn that without a chart, Tyler must have some pretty good learning systems in his mind that even though I do have my vision, I could probably learn some of those systems, right? And then same thing with training people. The closest thing I've had to experiencing that, and it's worlds apart, I'm not trying to say it's anywhere near the same, but just to kind of put it in perspective a little bit, I went to Thailand once to do like a kickboxing camp, right? And the instructors over there couldn't really speak English well. So the way they teach us how to do things was so physical, you know, that, and not just demonstrating, like that they demonstrate, but they'd also like grab your foot and then turn it in a specific way. It was like the audio was gone. Right. There were, and I'm quite an audio person. When I talk to people, I like to talk through it and explain via talking. But that's only one way to learn, right? And not everyone learns that way, right? So it was, and after that experience in Thailand, coming back to Australia, it gave me another tool in my arsenal to be like, all right, hold on. If I'm, you know, explaining to this person verbally, and it's not working, here's another tool. Here's how I can explain it, you know, kinesthetically. And I feel like you've got an even better tool. It's kind of like, man, take the vision away, and if you can explain that thing, you really know what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I absolutely jive with what you're saying. And what I would try to do is make sure that I had multiple layers of instruction.
Yeah.
Put into place, you know, so I'm demonstrating myself. Okay, here we're going to do a squat. Let me show you what it looks like. Let me explain to you what I'm doing while I'm doing it. Yep. And then I'm going to have you do it. But while you're doing it, I'm going to kind of maintain a little bit of physical contact and make sure that your positioning is correct as you're doing it. And I'm kind of moving around them, talking to them while they're doing it, reminding them, giving them those cues. So it's like a constant flow of verbal and physical feedback while they're doing it. And then I just found it to be really, really effective for the majority of people. And then as I grew comfortable with the client and knew their tendencies, I would be able to kind of step back a little bit. You know, I've been working with this person for 2 months or 2 years, yeah. And I know their tendencies. I know that they're doing this exercise correctly and check them every once in a while just to be sure. But it really did become a very effective way of training. And I remember, this is kind of a silly side note. I remember one lady at the fitness center who actually was not a client of mine, interestingly enough, but she would come up to me sometimes and say, you know what, if I was ever going to get a personal trainer, I would pick you as my trainer. And I was like, oh, really? Why is that? And she said, well, because you're blind, you can't really see how out of shape I am. And I just kind of laugh about it because I'm thinking, oh, man, you know what? My hands would find out pretty quickly. So, but it was just, it's funny, like, again, the way that people would react to it was just very interesting to me, but I would have, my confidence, my presence, my knowledge would sway people pretty quickly. And I just never had an issue with it. In fact, felt like I had very good success with it for the most part.
100%. Well, I think there's a few things there. I think there's so many elements to being a good personal trainer. Right. And as you've proven, you can be a really good and successful personal trainer without the vision. So that's just, that's just one thing of it. There's so many other elements there. The other thing I was going to suggest, which would be like, this is for the listeners, which I think could be a good experience to test your knowledge there, is kind of do it without some taking away some of those senses, where it's like, right, show someone how to do a squat, but do it, pretend they're blind. And then how would you teach it? All right. Hey, pretend they're deaf or their hearing is bad. Now, how would you teach it without using it verbally? Hey, now let's say, you're in a wheelchair, so you can't demonstrate it. How would you explain it to them? And I think if you can do all three of those as a trainer, you've just got so much tools where if someone walks in, you can help them there. So I think that's great. Super inspiring. I'd like to pivot a little bit, Tyler, because most people listening to this probably won't be blind, right? So it's like, okay, great. There's some really cool tips, Tyler. I can get some stuff out of that. But what would you say, like, they may have some blind clients though, a client walks into the gym, or not even a, it might even be a gym member, doesn't need to necessarily be a client. Any tips on what that trainer could do? So let's say a gym member walks in and, they're going to train and they're blind or visually impaired. Maybe they want a personal trainer as well. What kind of, and I know every person's different. There's so many variables there, but what are maybe some general tips you could give that trainer to, A, make the person feel comfortable, and also just things that trainer should be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can definitely give, and I'll give some kind of specifics around visually impaired, but I can also, I think, just step back even a little bit further and just say, a person with a disability in general. And, one of the things that's really important is, again, thinking about that rephrasing of the question, don't ask, can they, ask, how can they?
Love it.
And so when you look at a potential client, a gym member comes in, they have a visual impairment or some other disability, you're a trainer at this gym and you want to help that person. The first thing you need to recognize is, you want to start with that end in mind. Like, I want this person to be better. I want them to be stronger, faster. Like, that's why we become trainers, right? Like, the passion for helping somebody improve their life through health and fitness is really the reason that we become personal trainers. This doesn't change when you're working with somebody with a disability.
Yeah.
Right. They are a person too. They're a person who wants a good quality of life, and you have the tools and the knowledge to give that to them. Now, you may have to go about things a little bit of a different way, but if you start with that in mind and you start with that basic human respect and compassion in mind, then you're starting at a really, really good place. So somebody comes to your gym, they're visually impaired, and you walk up to them, here's a couple of basics, right? Introduce yourself. And typically when you're talking with somebody who's visually impaired, it's always nice, even if you've talked to them multiple times, it's always nice to say your name. Hey, Jonah, it's Tyler, just so you know who I am. And, how you doing today? Whatever. Just like, you always use your name so that they can recognize whose voice it is that they're talking to, right? And, you know, when you're dealing with somebody with a disability and you want to help them, the best way to find out is just ask them, right? Hey, I saw you're coming into the gym. Would love to help you out. Is there anything that I can do to help make you more comfortable, show you around, anything like that? And then you wait for their response. You know, their response might be, you know what? I'm totally set. I really appreciate it. I'm just kind of exploring. I want to see what it's like. I'm just going to wander around. Okay, cool. You kind of give them that space. You respect that. Maybe you check in with them every once in a while, make sure they're good. Or maybe they'll say, you know what? That would be fantastic. If you could show me around, show me where the equipment is, how the gym's laid out, that would be awesome. You kind of let them dictate, you know, what help they would like to have. Because as you mentioned, everybody's kind of at a different level. I'm a pretty skilled blind person, right? I travel a lot. I, you know, own a business. I do all kinds of different things. I'm pretty skilled at life. And so, you know, I don't necessarily need somebody to hold my hand in a new place and show me where every little thing is, right? So I'm going to say, you know what, just give me a description of the layout and I think I'm good. Other people might need a little more or less. So, you know, starting off there, asking them what they need is definitely a good starting point.
Gotcha. Awesome. Couple questions with that, because I've got no idea what it would be like to be visually impaired or blind. Let's say you walk into the gym. You'd have, like, even just that layout, would you say to someone, hey, just, you know, let me know the layout, where's the free weights, where's the barbells, where's the lat pull down, whatever, and then you would just kind of remember it and you'd be able to go again and find it? Is that how it works in that situation?
Yeah, you start to it takes a few runs, right? But yeah, you start to kind of mentally map how things are laid out and where things are. So the fitness center is it's a different kind of monster than most other places that you can travel through, right? Because there are things like I call them hotspots. You know, I like to know where the hotspots are in the gym. And what a hotspot is it's that whatever place that is in your gym where you're going to find people laying on the floor and dropping medicine balls and dumbbells. And it's a chaotic mess, right? Yeah. Like wherever that might be, you need to know where that spot is. Cause if I'm walking through there, I don't need to be stepping on people. Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hey, where's your, you know, the cardio section? Typically most gyms are laid out pretty similar. They get all their cardio equipment lined up in one nice neat area, right? And so you figure that out and you can kind of count the number of machines to figure out which one is the one you want. You know, I know there's 7 treadmills and then 5 ellipticals in this row. So if I go to machine number 8, then I know I'm at an elliptical. And there's definitely some different things. Like you get a general layout of the gym, but then, you know, it might take a few runs to figure out, you know, okay, as I'm walking on the tile and then it transitions to carpet underneath my feet, I know I'm now in the cardio section. I'm not in the walkway anymore, you know, things like that. Every place is a little different, but those are the types of things as a trainer you can really try to help a person with a visual impairment, or again, just any disability, talking to them and saying, you know, hey, what can I do to help make this easier for you? You know, what are you looking for? How can I make this accessible for you?
Awesome. Now, Tyler, this app that you've put together, let us know what's it about. Let us know. Let us know about the app.
Yeah. So real quick story, and then, and I'll share kind of what this app is. So, as I explained, like my fight to become a personal trainer, there was nobody like standing in my way. It was just becoming that was an uphill fight, right? Like trying to learn all this stuff and accumulate this knowledge and learn exercises and movements and anatomy and physiology and all that. And so I knew for a very, very long time that being visually impaired and being fit, being an athlete, there's a gap there.
Yeah.
It's much more challenging for somebody who is blind and visually impaired to be a good athlete, to be a trainer, to learn and know about fitness. And my wife, who is also blind, my wife and I have been married 20 years and we have 4 kids. She's also blind. She is very well connected on social media. She's on Facebook groups and things like that. And she would tell me often, like, hey, I was talking with so-and-so on this group, this blind person's community group or whatever. And they want to know about fitness. You really should get on there and start teaching people how to do this stuff. And so, I'm working at the gym one day. I'm waiting for one of my clients to come in. I'm standing at the front desk, and I heard somebody approaching the front desk, and I heard this kind of tap, tap of a cane, right? So somebody who is blind tapping their cane and making their way to the front desk. Well, there's, three or four people who are blind at the gym. So I knew it must've been one of these couple of people. I struck up a conversation with this person, and it was a young mother. She had been coming to the gym for about 3 months. And she'd been coming in pretty regularly, three times a week. When she first came in, somebody showed her where the treadmills were, showed her how to use it. And that's all she really wanted to do was use the treadmill. Well, so I'm talking to her and she sounds kind of down on this day. And I was like, so what's going on? Why do you sound so down? And she said, well, and tell me if you haven't heard this story before. She said, well, I've been coming in for a while and everything was great to start with. I was losing weight and now I'm stuck. Yep, I know this story, it's very, very common. So I'm talking to her, I'm like, okay, so, I know that you use the treadmill. Do you do any of the other exercises? Do you have any other routines that you do, lift weights or anything? She said, no, I don't really know how to do any of that stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I'm a personal trainer. Let me show you kind of some of our plans and maybe I can set up a routine for you. No big deal. Well, as a lot of trainers are listening here, have experienced, I'm sure, like she couldn't afford the rates that were set by the gym. I didn't control those rates, nothing I could do about it. And she walked away disappointed. Right. Now the problem was though, that of all the other people that I worked with or didn't end up working with, right, all the other people who said, you know what, I'm going to have to try it on my own. I knew that they could go into the weight room. They could look around and like, okay, that person's lifting like that. I'm going to try that. They could sit down on the machine and look at the picture and okay, here's where I put my arms and legs and here's what I do. They could pull up a YouTube video, jump into a classroom. This person, she couldn't do any of that stuff. She was just stuck. Even pulling up YouTube videos, like how many YouTube videos do you know that you've looked at as like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm going to teach you how to do this exercise today. And all you got to do is this. And they kind of just move like
watch
this.
Just watch me do it.
Yeah, exactly. Watch me do it. And so I was like, man, this is just not cool. Yeah. This is not cool that this person has so little chance of finding the success that all these other people have opportunities to find. And so that was really what kicked it off. I said, I got to do something about this. And so I started putting together plans and talking with people and writing down ideas and, how would I do this? How would I create a digital program to make this happen? And about 3.5 years of work that went into this app that I launched about 3 months ago. The app is called Revision Fitness, and it's a totally audio-based fitness app where there's actually a designated section, an entire classroom section of the app specifically to teach how to do exercises correctly. So at the launch of the program, there's about 150 different exercises in there. All of it is just body weight for the moment. And just very meticulous, well-described. One more. Cool. So I have this section, classroom section designated for all of these exercises where there's very meticulously described details, right? Of if you were blindfolded and I said, okay, you're going to do this exercise, the way that it's written out should give you all the details you need of how to start, how to actually perform the exercise, how to position your body. I use clock face directions, other reference points like, hey, for good posture, put your back up against the wall and here's the contact points that you should have. And then all of that builds into audio workouts that are all queued up and again, totally audio-based. There's a couple of fitness plans in there. All of it designed to give instruction to people who are blind and visually impaired on how to do fitness correctly without them ever having to be able to see a thing. So it is a massive project. My goal is to have pretty much anything and everything fitness related essentially be built into this app, right? So eventually I want to teach how to do, resistance band training, kickboxing, suspension training, medicine ball work, weightlifting, machines, you name it. I want to put it in this app and teach people who are blind and vision impaired how to do that stuff correctly.
Love that. And so we'll give it a plug as well. It's a Revision Fitness app. I believe the website is revisionfitnessapp.com. And I believe it's on iTunes, Google Play. People could just type in Revision Fitness. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. And that'll pull it up. Subscription app, but you get a 2-week free trial just to check it out and see what you think. And then the subscription is very, very, very reasonable. It's just a business model that I put together to keep it up and running and adding new material. But it's super reasonable because my whole mission was to make it accessible for people, right? People who are blind and visually impaired, but honestly, anybody who wants to check it out, if you're a trainer and you're working with somebody who's blind and visually impaired, or you have a family member, you know, somebody, this is something that could really help them. And it could also help you as you look through these and, oh, that's a great way to describe that exercise. That makes a lot of sense. That would, elicit the correct movements. So I think it's a great resource to start helping people who are blind connect with fitness. And it's a major undertaking, but it's something I'm so excited about.
100%. My take on that. So I think if you're listening to this and obviously you've got any clients that are blind or visually impaired, let them know about the app. Even not necessarily clients, as Tyler mentioned, if you've got any friends or family members, let them know about the app. That might be what they need to go and get exercise. Even you mentioned for yourself as well, you might, like you as the trainer, you may get to know how to explain an exercise better yourself, because it's kind of what we mentioned earlier. It's taking away a sense. Great. Here's a way to explain it for someone that can't see anything. It's probably a pretty good explanation. And I want to touch on that as well. I've just recently started BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And
oh yeah,
it's great. I love it. But the trainers are so, or the instructors are so kinesthetic, where they're like, right, so watch me do this move, I put my hand here, mm-hmm. and then I put my foot here, and then watch what I do here. And like for you, Tyler, you probably got no idea what just happened then, right?
Yeah,
with that explanation. Right. And look, not their fault. I get it. It's kind of how they learned and whatever it is. And there's no obviously blind people in the class. But even for someone like me, I just feel I would understand the movement a bit better if you'd say, instead of saying I put my hand here and then I put my foot here. If you say, you'll be able to explain it way better than me, but I put my hand on the inside of their elbow and, I wrap it around the actual elbow, and then I get my left leg and I put it just outside of that person's hip. See how my foot is just, if it was explained, there's different explanations for different reasons or whatever it may be, but if you have your full vision, you may be, as a trainer, you may be guilty of that, watch me put my hand here and my foot here. But if you get Tyler's app, you'll hear a different way of explaining it. So I recommend, even if you're not blind, you don't have any blind clients, you don't have any blind friends, you're probably going to be a better trainer if you have this app. Even if you subscribe for a couple months or whatever and learn a few new things, it's still probably worth it.
I think so. And as you said before, just expanding your repertoire, expanding your understanding. And it's so funny that you mentioned Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, because there are a lot of blind people who do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
There we go.
Because the contact point, right? Like you're maintaining a lot of contact. It's a grappling sport. So very, very accessible. Once you have an instructor who can step in and explain those movements and work with somebody and teach them that, right? Like once they have that knowledge, it's a very accessible sport. Mm. So very, very good point to bring up, right? It does take a little extra layer of concentration and effort to add in the verbals, right? Instead of saying just move here and do this, saying like and putting the actual words in there, it does take extra effort, right?
Yeah.
But I think your instruction becomes so much richer, and it's like anything. The more you practice it, the more fluid you become with it. Yep. And it just, I think it makes for a better instructor overall.
Yep. Agree. Well, hey, Tyler, we're running out of time here. Just before I leave you to it, someone's listening to this and they're like, all right, you know, this guy's awesome. He's inspiring. I want to follow him. Maybe they don't want to get the app, but they just want to follow you and your journey. Where's the best place to follow you? You're active on social. Where can we follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm active on social media, Facebook especially. You can find me at Tyler Merren. It's T-Y-L-E-R-M-E-R-R-E-N. I have a Facebook page, Tyler Merren Speaks. I post there quite a bit. I'm on Twitter at Revision Tyler. And, you know, I love to post on there updates on the app and just motivational content. I post about my competitions. While I was in Tokyo, I did a lot of vlogs showing the village and our ups and downs of the competition. So I like to take people on those journeys with me. So definitely give me a follow. I do a lot of motivational speaking presentations. So if you have a need for a public speaker, definitely can reach out to me, TylerMerren@gmail.com. And I love to share my story and I love to inspire people to, seek better for themselves. Like I said, everybody's got a challenge. Everybody's got something. It's what you choose to do with it. That's the real difference. That's the play to make. I enjoy doing this kind of stuff. So reach out to me and I'm happy to connect.
Awesome. And I'll put all those links down in the show notes. Tyler, that's pretty much all I wanted to cover today. Was there anything I should have asked you but forgot to, or anything you want to finish us off with?
No, I think this was great, Jonah. I know that your listeners aren't necessarily super versed with the world of disabilities or being blind and visually impaired. So hopefully this was a good intro for them. And I gave them some new ideas, some things to think about, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there with disabilities who want to be as successful as you are listening to this podcast right now. You know, they want to be teachers. They want to be fit and have families and businesses. And, you know, you may be that person's only contact to somebody who says, you know what, I heard a podcast one time with this guy who had a disability and he did all this really cool stuff. I think you're really capable of doing this too. You know, you need to pick yourself up and let's make something happen. So I really appreciate the chance to jump on your show and share a few things. And I think this was great.
No, thank you. You're a super inspirational person. It was great to have you on. There's just a couple things I want to add, actually. One thing you mentioned earlier on, and I didn't highlight it, just the term adaptive sports. Over here in Australia, I'm finding that's a fairly new thing. I didn't know what that, once you hear it, you obviously kind of know what it means, but I wouldn't have known the term to actually Google it, you know, a couple of years ago. So if there's anyone else listening, if there's anyone listening to that and you're like me a couple of years ago, that's kind of adaptive sports or even just adaptive exercise. You know, if you want to find a gym that caters to, you know, for lack of a better word, disabled people, the term used in that kind of thing is an adaptive gym or adaptive training or adaptive exercise or adaptive sports. So I think that's something to note. And then the other thing I was going to say, so just a quick question on Goalball. Is it specifically for blind and visually impaired people? Or if you're full vision, you can put the blindfold on and play? And then follow up question to that, if you are blind, do you still use the blindfold?
Oh, good questions. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, Goalball is a sport that was created for the blind, created for blind athletes. Yep. So international, like at the highest level competing, at like the Paralympics, World Championships. Yeah. You do have to be visually impaired to play at those levels.
Gotcha.
However, most places, you know, you're talking like in the US and Canada and, yeah. I'm not sure the domestic rules in Australia. I have a few connections there. I could definitely find out, but most countries have a an open door policy when it comes to athletes with vision wanting to compete. Even to the point where we've had a few universities create like intramural goalball programs with just all sighted athletes, because ultimately when they come in, you put on a blindfold, you know, it's all the same whether you're sighted or visually impaired,
and
right?
It's probably a good experience. Like I'm thinking, I've never played a sport blindfolded. You know, it's kind of like it might give me a better idea. I know it's not going to be exactly the same as if I was blind, obviously.
Sure.
It would give me an indication, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a trip. Like a lot of people, goalball is such a neat thing. And I hope that your listeners will take a moment to go check it out. Do a YouTube video on goalball, USA goalball. You'll see me on there for the most part. You know, just find out what the sport is, because I have never introduced anybody to the sport, whether they were watching it or playing it or refereeing or line judging or whatever, helping out, volunteering, that didn't absolutely just fall in love with the sport. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I used to bring buddies from my high school, from my college out to practices, fully sighted athletes, and just say, yeah, here's what we're doing. Throw a blindfold on. Let's play some ball. Yeah. And they loved it. You know, it's so much fun. You cut out an entire sense. And you have to rely on your hearing and your communication with your team. And there's a few other additional aspects. There's some lines that are taped onto the floor, so you can orientate through those lines, and you know, use the net for orientation and things like that. But it's a trippy experience, and we'd love to have sighted athletes come out and give it a try, right? Because we're so passionate about it, and we like to refer to it as the greatest sport you've never heard of, right? Because
yeah,
most people haven't, but as soon as we show it, I'm like, man, this is so cool. How did I not know about this? Well, it's, you know, it's kind of for a specialized population. You're not going to see it a lot on ESPN, but most people really dig it when they get into it. And yeah, so if you're listening to this, you're like, man, I'd love to try that out. I'd encourage you to go check it out. You may be able to really help somebody who's blind, who doesn't have the opportunity to play. You may be able to help them get something started. And, it's a big deal when you can step into this world and help somebody who's blind, you know, kind of self-actualize and realize that they can do this kind of stuff through sport.
Well, you've motivated me to check it out. I when I found out about you, you know, your bio is obviously Paralympic athlete. I didn't initially look into the sport. And it's kind of the stereotype over here in Australia, you know, is swimming, because swimming's huge over here, you know?
Oh, sure.
It's like, you know, a lot of swimmers that are Paralympic athletes, especially vision ones as well, because it's kind of like it's a relatively straightforward pathway here in Australia, because we've got such a big swimming kind of community, you know? And I was like, goalball, never heard of this. Let me check it out. And then I looked into it and I was like, man, I've literally never heard about this sport, but it looks cool.
It is a lot of fun. Yeah. And I'm not surprised you hadn't heard of it, but it makes it no less fun and no less exciting. And something that I'm obviously super passionate about. I've been doing it for 20 plus years. So I guess I have to be a little bit biased, but it's definitely a blast. And anytime you get a chance to play it, I'm sure you won't regret.
Awesome. Well, Tyler, thanks for your time. Super inspirational. I'm going to go and check out if I can get into goalball. And then if I ever make it to the US or you ever make it over here, we can have a game and you can kick my ass at it.
Sounds like a blast. I look forward to it.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you for listening. If you liked this show, share it with your friends, subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review. For show notes and free training on how to grow your fitness business, visit www.fitnesseducationonline.com.au.
Are you a fitness professional looking to provide your clients with personalized meal plans? Well, check out Mealsy, the ultimate solution for creating custom meal plans in just a few simple clicks. With Mealsy, you can say goodbye to countless hours spent on meal planning. Our Australian meal planning web app is designed to save you time and effort, so you can focus on what really matters, your clients and their success. Mealsy provides you with a vast library of recipes, all created by nutrition professionals, from breakfast to dinner and everything in between. We've got you covered. Whether you want to create a custom meal plan tailored to your client's needs or choose from our selection of ready-made meal plans, Mealsy has the flexibility to accommodate your preferences. So why waste precious time and energy creating meal plans from scratch? Let Mealsy do the heavy lifting for you, while you focus on delivering exceptional fitness services. Join the community of fitness professionals who have revolutionized their business with Mealsy. Visit our website at www.mealsy.com and sign up today. Mealsy, the smarter way to meal plan for fitness professionals.